Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
All right, I'm Associate Pastor Brock Williamson. Boss Man is out of commission today. Let me know. And this is why you got to be ready in and out of season. It's a cool thing. You could preach anytime, anywhere. Just open that Bible up, whatever verse is there. All right, we're preaching. That's not what I did this morning, just so you know. If Boss Man's listening, this was prepared, all right? Might have been this morning, but no, I'm just kidding. I'm excited to share this message with you this morning. I think it is something that is needed, that is necessary. All right, this is for the church. This is for the church body. This is for you this morning. If you are in this place, in this room, and you're not somewhere else, that'd be weird. But if you're not somewhere else and you're here or you're listening to this, this is for you. There is not a single person in here that is an exception from this. Okay? We're going to start in Romans. In Romans. That's where our first section of Scripture is going to be. I'm going to jump around through Scripture, try to keep up. If not, you can watch it back and catch it then. But while you're turning there, I just want to say something. Family is complicated. Family's complicated. It just is, right? And then I want to ask a couple questions, and you don't have to raise your hand. I just want you to think about this. How many of you are here because someone else? Someone brought you once upon a time. Somebody taught you once upon a time. Somebody instigated this. Or you're a child and your parents dragged you this morning. Whatever it is. Sometimes it's spouses that do that as well. No, what you're here because of somebody else. Then the second question I want to ask is, how many of you, when you got here, not just this morning, but any point when you came to church, there was someone here that impacted you, that taught you, that took you under their wing. You kept coming back because this person was either holding you accountable or inviting you back and whatever it was. Understand, these questions are not loaded questions in the sense of we can be saved by any person. No, we cannot. We can only be saved by Jesus Christ. But we are called to be a witness, right? We are called to deliver the good news to other people. There's another place in Scripture that I'll reference. We don't have to turn there. Is the Great Commission, to go and make disciples of all nations. Discipling and witnessing are two different things. Witnessing is bringing the good news of the gospel and what the Holy Spirit has done in your life and bringing it to other people, right? Being a discipler, discipling people, okay, is ongoing teaching. It is an ongoing teaching relationship, like Jesus with the disciples. It's an ongoing teaching relationship, and we are called to disciple all nations. We are called to disciple people, teach them about these things, share with them about these things. So in Romans 15, verse 1, we who are strong must be considerate of those who are sensitive about things like this. We must not just please ourselves. We should help others do what is right and build them up in the Lord. For even Christ didn't live to please himself. As the scriptures say, the insults of those who insult you, O God, have fallen on me. Such things were written in the scriptures long ago to teach us, and the scriptures give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. We'll pause there. Couple key points within this is that we don't live to please ourselves, but we should help others do what is right and build them up in the Lord. And then it references Christ's example. Then the second thing I want to note is such things were written in the scriptures long ago to teach us, and the scriptures give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. Understand this. The reason you come to church is not just about you. It's not just about you. Yes, you come here so the Lord can speak to you, minister to you, But there's a balance here. And I'm going to reference another place in Scripture that talks about when we get together, what we are to do. But what I want you to shift a perspective to, this is not replacing one perspective with another. Rather, it is adding another perspective that we are to hold whenever we walk into this place and we live our lives and we walk out of this place. Because you can hold two thoughts at once. I believe you can. I struggle with it at times. But I think we can do it. Yes, we come to church so the Lord can minister to us, but we are to build others up. Just like it references, the scriptures were written long ago, but for us. There are things you are doing now for those that come after. There are things that you are pushing through, breaking through, doing in this church building, doing in your family, doing in your life, so the ones that come after don't have to rebuild. They can just add on. The foundation of Christ that we build our lives upon, and then some of us, you know, we start families and we do these things. It's not just about us when we come here. It is not just about you coming and getting what you want. Feeling better for the week, a shot in the arm. This is a consumerism mentality, and it has no room in this place. Rather, we come to be filled so we may be poured out, so we can do for others what the Lord has done for us, for those that come after. Think about it. In the Old Testament, there were people fighting the good fight. The Hall of Fame of Faith, right? And we see people from the Old Testament having faith. And we see what they did in the battle, the spiritual battle. And they proclaimed Jesus coming, the Messiah. You know, they never actually saw it happen. They prayed, they fought, they fasted for something that they never saw, but they believed in. So that those that came after could see and build upon it. Such things were written in the scriptures long ago to teach us. Those ancient scriptures in the Old Testament, so long ago. Well, guess what? In a few generations, your kids' kids' kids are going to look at you as so long ago. Some of you are already there. No offense. We're all going to get there, all right? But you're building something not just for yourself, not just so you can experience heaven with the Father. Yes, that is wonderful and great, and that is a perspective we are to have, to come and be ministered to in this place. But hold two thoughts, not just one, that you are here to build one another up. 2 Timothy 2:2, not a 2:2, 2:2, chapter 2, verse 2. You have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. I am not meant to just hear the message, read the word, experience what God gives me, and then just consume it. I am meant to pass this on to others. What I learn, what I experience, what God has done in my life, I am not meant to hold it in. That's knowledge. You're just retaining knowledge. I read this and I hold it in. It just stays stored in there. Well, Scripture's clear, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up, and it is the love of God that sent Jesus to earth for you and I. So it is the love of God shown to us that will take Jesus within us and give it to people around us. It is by love that we reach others. There's a lot of trap doors in this, and I'm not going to spend my message about all that. We're not going to get caught in all the little things that can happen. But sometimes our motives in sharing the gospel or sharing what we've learned are not always pure. They're sanctimonious, or whatever that word means. But we are to pass these things on for those that come after. There's somebody following you. Maybe you don't have kids, but there's people in this room that are following you, that see you. Maybe you do have kids. Well, I'll tell you what. I was in youth ministry for like nine and a half years, and then somehow I'm back in it. Didn't see that one coming. But I'm there. And one of the most frustrating things, I have to be real with you, and this is not a complaint, it's an observation, but one of the most frustrating things to me is watching kids come in on a Wednesday, and it is the only time they are taught anything about God. It is the only time that their spiritual life is maintained. Yes, they have a personal responsibility to seek the Lord on their own, just like you do. Boss man or me preaching the message should not be your only form of hearing from God in your life. It should not be the only thing keeping you spiritually alive. We are not your life support. You are to do this on your own. And these kids that walk in a youth group, their parents are supposed to be teaching them. Scripture's clear. Teach them in the way they should go. It's directing parents and their kids. I got to be honest with you. If you thought you could have a kid and then send them to youth group with me as the youth pastor and they're going to turn out fine, woof. It is by the grace of God that any of the kids, I'm not actually that bad, I'm kind of joking around, but understand, I can't save anybody. And let's be honest, their attention spans these days, they got TikTok brain. Let's be honest, TikTok the app. Some of you have TikTok brain, but it's the TikTok of the clock and you just want to get out of here. So either way, the attention span is not there. But realize this, I should not be the only thing holding on to God and holding on to you and trying to keep your relationship together. I'm not that guy. I will 100% let go. It was a hard lesson I had to learn in ministry. Back in the early youth group days, and there would be students that I would just try and try and try and try and reach out and pray and reach out and pray and ask and seek and do all this stuff. Meanwhile, the ones that were there week after week weren't getting that attention. And I had to sit down with boss man. I said, I'm burning out. This kid is on my brain 24/7. I can't sleep at night. I'm praying for them. I'm trying to help them. I'm trying to see where they're at. And he's like, you know what? There comes a point in time, prodigal son, you let them go. And you pray the Lord will bring them back. They will find their way back. But you need to take care of the people in the flock. Now, I'm not telling you where that line is for your own personal life. I'm sharing with you a personal story in a very direct situation. But I want you to know something. Boss man and I cannot maintain your relationship with God. That is you. That is you. And in the same way, one another in here, you're supposed to be discipling and talking to each other and building each other up and doing this whole thing. We don't come to church just to hear me talk. If you do, thanks. At least somebody. No, I'm just kidding. No, but really. Really? It's for those who come after. This next generation. The things they have to face. The things they have to go through. There's people in here. Guess what? Some of you people in here, I'm not going to name names, but I remember growing up in this church. And I was here for a long time. Moved here in seventh grade. I was turned 12. I'm 30 now. I'm unk. I'm old. I'm feeble. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. But I remember all of a sudden, I'm at some Bible study and we're talking, and this person all of a sudden says, yeah, in my first marriage, I was like, what? You ain't been married to them? What? Yeah, I was divorced. What? How did I just find out about this now? How did you make it through? And then guess what? You're sitting there silent on your secret that you're ashamed of and what? And I don't know what to do while somebody else in this building is suffering. Suffering through a broken marriage. Not sure what to do. They need you. How did you make it? I could go through all sorts of life scenarios that you've been through. I used to keep my mouth closed on a lot of these things because I'm calling it from the cheap seats, right? I've never been in those shoes, so I can't tell what I would do in that scenario. You know, it's like if a dude rushed me in an alley. I like to talk big, but I've never been in that scenario. I don't know what I would do. There's a lot of movie scenes I'd like to try out, but there's no guarantees it'd work that way. I'd be the guy that trips, falls, knocks himself out. That's what really is going to happen. Never mind. We're not going down that rabbit hole. But I remember, trigger warning, I remember when me and my wife had our miscarriage. I remember. Talking about meeting a guy in an alley, I would rather fight 10 guys in an alley than have that happen again. That's what it feels like. And when I finally shared it, out from the woodwork comes all these people. Oh, we've been there. Oh, yeah, that we went through that. We went through that. And it was awesome. It was great. I appreciated that. But also, what about the people that don't have a platform, because the first time I talked about it was in a sermon. That's the only way people knew about it, because I opened and I dialogued and I talked about it from a, what about the people in this congregation that don't have the platform and don't get to share, and you're not coming out and talking about it? You're not coming out and sharing about it. I'm not here to throw stones and cast stones at you and say, you should do this. That's not what I'm saying in this specific context. Like I said, but I'm not calling it from the cheap seats anymore. I've been through it, and there was no way I could keep my mouth shut. I want somebody else in here who's going through that to know that I went through it and I'm here for you. I know what the Lord did in my life through that season. I know what the enemy did in my life during that season. And I know what I did in that season of my life. Why are we hiding? We shouldn't. I'm not trying to force you to divulge a bunch of secrets and this stuff and things that you still have unresolved hurt over. I'm not saying that. I have understanding. Don't take me out of context here. But sometimes why we have unresolved issues is because the person sitting next to us can help us, but nobody's talking. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, we come to church and we ask for the blood of the Lamb, but we keep our mouth shut with our testimony. How are we ever going to overcome? It's for those that come after. If we just had to consistently always rebuild and rebuild and rebuild every single time. You know what? I was a teenager. I was dumb. I didn't listen to my father's wisdom. He's trying to prevent me from making mistakes he made or ones that he just knew about and he didn't make. But he just didn't want to see me make. Well, guess what? Brock didn't listen. That's not called stupid. That's called foolish. It's the opposite of wise. But now 30-year-old Brock is like, oh my goodness, I wish I would have just listened. I wish I would have just listened to the advice. I wish I would have just listened so that I wouldn't have to deal with all of this junk that I created for myself. somebody else paid the price, went through the experience, and wants to share the wisdom with me, why would I not start on second base? Why would I not want to build or not rebuild and add on? That's what we're here to do. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Beautiful. Beautiful. It's a little competition. Yeah, not okay. Let's not get out of hand with that. It was kind of a joke. But there's a place in Scripture that says, try to outdo one another with good works and with love. But understand that's not to stir up jealousy and animosity. Verse 25, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. It was drawn near back then. It's even closer now. But see, that's the thing is, I remember when COVID happened. Whoa. Still wild to think that happened. What happened? The shutdown, the quarantines, and all these different things going on. And I'm not looking to get political, so settle down. I'm just saying how wild. But I remember people from this very congregation and other congregations shouting from the rooftops, unmasked. Do not neglect getting together. They can't shut us down. And then when we got together, we didn't read the rest of the verse. We didn't do what it says we're supposed to do when we get together. We came here to get what's ours and leave. But encourage one another. But encourage one another. That encourage there is a loaded phrase. With the day drawing near, in that context, to encourage one another is to remind one another of Jesus' coming back. So we spur one another on in love and in good works so that we may not be disqualified, so that we always draw near to the Lord, so that we can be restored to the faith when we fall off. All of these things that are meant to happen when we gather together. I'm going to say it. If we gather together and we're not building each other up and we're not encouraging one another, then we might as well stop getting together. You can sit at home and listen to a podcast and get yours. But that's not what this place is about. There is no singular focus. Yes, come here to be restored. Come here to be renewed. Come here to be encouraged by the message or by worship or whatever it is. But come here to edify one another, to encourage one another. It is through obedience to God that we can be ministered to in one of the best ways. Some of the greatest lessons I've ever learned in my walk with God and my relationship deepened with Him is when He used me, not just spoke to me. That's why that mission trip, I'm so excited. For LJ, that's what Naomi calls her, so I call her LJ, and Loretta. I'm excited. Being used by God, there's nothing like it. It's why preaching is one of my favorite things. I get up here, and most of the time, I don't know what I'm going to say. Probably shouldn't have said that. But it's true. I got Bible verses written down. And the main point, where we go from there, I don't know. Holy Spirit, move. And that's not to say you should come in ill-prepared to something, boss man. I understand if you're watching this at home. But there's this beautiful thing. There was this musical artist, and I'm not going to say who it was, way back in the day that I really, really liked. I'm not going to say who it was because I'm not giving any justification for you to listen to something that you don't feel okay listening to, and I'm not here to share my convictions. I'm just going to say it was a musical artist. And this musical artist, at one point in their career, decided to take all of the songs they ever wrote, and in one session, they just did them all. And every time they finished a page in their notebook, they ripped it out and threw it away. And they would say, "I am music." Not in the grand scheme of music, but their music. And the reason why is, he said, because I live it. I don't need to write it down. I know it because I am it. And in the same way, as Christians, if we're living this life and in constant relationship with him, what is there for me to write down? My mind is constantly on this. My mind is constantly enamored by this. My mind is constantly going through, what did I read this morning? What did I read yesterday? What was that sermon? What was going on? So the next time I run into somebody and they want to talk about something, I know exactly what I want to say. Well, guess what? Yesterday I was praying and I read this scripture verse and it's coming right out of me. Why? Because I live it. I don't have to pause and say, "Oh, wait, let me run and think." Yeah, of course, not all of us are going to memorize the Bible from front to back. Not all of us are Bible quizzers. Okay? We have to look up things. We have to do this. I'm not shaming you for any lack of knowledge, but what I'm saying is this: the general gospel message and testimony of your life should take no preparation. You know it because you live it. So don't think that there's going to be some point where now I'm ready to share with others. No, you're ready to share when the opportunity's in front of you. It's like that guy in the alley. I don't know why I keep going back to that metaphor, but it's like you better be ready. The opportunity's there. Share it. Don't know what to share? Tell your story. You don't know your story? Well, what did God do in your life? How did you get from here to here? It's all it takes to share these things. It's all it takes. It's very simple. I know it's a lot to overcome, though, and it's hard to do, but it's not complicated. There's a difference between that. It's very simple. The gospel message and your story about God in your life. You're not here to teach theology. We're not here for any of that. Homiletics, hermeneutics, you don't need that. Trust me. Well, I almost said something I should have said again. Let's just say that class wasn't my favorite and I may not have paid a ton of attention. But anyway, God wants to use you to be equipped to be ready and all these things. Those things are good. They are great. But David didn't have to go to school to defeat Goliath. He just had to live his life and remain faithful to God. And through his life, he was faithful to God. And so when Goliath showed up, he was ready. He didn't have to go through all the training and the programs and memorize this and memorize that. He just knew from his life, God's faithful. I mean, if God got me to kill half the animals he did with my hands, I'd feel pretty cool. You bet my faith would be like, all right, sure. Guy in an alley? Again, with the metaphor, but it ties together. We need to teach one another and share with one another these things. Proverbs 13, verse 22. Good people leave an inheritance to their grandchildren, and the sinner's wealth passes to the godly. To leave an inheritance for those who come after. It's not just about money. It's about this legacy of the kingdom of God. 2 Timothy 4, starting in verse 6. As for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I have remained faithful. Now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. When one falls, we continue. He was falling. It was the end of his race. But he said what he fought for, what he was about to receive, was for those that came after as well. For those that look forward to it like he did. We can't just think about ourselves. We have to think about those who come after. We should never enter this building. We should never enter this church building and leave here without encouraging somebody, praying with somebody, having a godly conversation with somebody. We shouldn't come here, have a bunch of random small talk, eat our donut, drink our coffee, sing worship, hear the message, and leave. You are meant to interact with one another. You are meant to encourage one another. You are meant to influence one another, sharpen one another, restore one another. Because there will be generations gone by, and this church, God willing, will still be here. Who's going to be in your seat? Who's going to be in my seat? Well, I hope whoever's in my seat isn't fighting the same battle I'm fighting. Hopefully I slayed Goliath so they can fight the next one. I'm not leaving anything for them. I'm going to fight as best I can. I'm going to take out everything I can. Because, yeah, as long as we live on this earth, the fight keeps going. But I'm going to push further. I'm going to push farther, and I'm going to plant that flag. I'm going to be the expedition that goes forward, and I'm going to plant that flag so that when those that come after, it is a smooth trail. And they see that flag. And they know, all right, time to fight. And then they carry on. And they fight for the ones that come after. Stand up with me all over this room. Look at that. I got you out in time for the Packer. Never mind. Too soon. Hey, don't worry. My Texans are probably going to lose tomorrow to Aaron Rodgers. So this is... Yeah, bummer. We're all in this together. Oh boy, that's a flashback. Anyway, we don't need to go down that one. I always want you to come to church, and I always want God to minister to you when you're here. I always want him to speak to you. I want him to restore you. I want you to bring your needs to him. Lay it down at his feet. I want you to do that. I want you to leave this place changed, different, impacted, inspired, motivated. The beautiful thing is it's not based upon my message. It's not based upon the worship that those things happen. It's based upon the Lord. And the Lord calls us to preach and share the gospel, but he also called you to encourage one another. Hold two thoughts at once. Come here to get what you need, but don't leave here without leaving something for someone else.
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.